What if I told you that you can support your blood pressure and healthy CoQ10 levels with two chews a day? The new Super Beats Heart Chews Advanced is now supercharged with CoQ10. That's like getting CoQ10 for free. Our powerful blend of beetroot, grapeseed extract, and CoQ10 supports your cardiovascular health. Visit RadioBeats.com and find out how you can get a free 30-day supply on bundles and save 15% with the promo code DEAL.
Recovery efforts resume in Baltimore today, following the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge.
To hear the words that the Key Bridge has collapsed, it's shocking and heartbreaking.
That's where we're starting The 7 from The Washington Post. I'm Christina Quinn. It's Wednesday, March 27th. Let's get you caught up with today's 7 stories. Number 1. At the top of the show, you heard Maryland's Governor Wes Moore speaking yesterday at the disaster site. 6 construction workers are presumed dead. The workers were repairing masonry and potholes on the Key Bridge yesterday when a cargo ship lost power and crashed into it. It's still unclear how many vehicles are submerged in the water and how many other victims were killed or injured in the disaster. We have learned more about what happened right before the collapse. The ship issued an urgent Mayday call as it drifted dangerously close to the bridge. Police responded quickly to shut down the flow of traffic.
I need one of you guys on the south side, one of you guys on the north side, hold all traffic on the Key Bridge. There's a ship approaching that just lost their steering. So that until you get that under control, we got to stop all traffic. Just make sure no one's on the bridge right now.
It was a call that probably saved lives. Fire officials were able to shut down most traffic just before the collision at 1:28 a.m. Tuesday. Less than 40 seconds later, the bridge collapsed into the Patapsco River. We'll have live updates as the recovery mission continues today. You can find a link for that in our newsletter. The Supreme Court probably won't roll back access to a key abortion drug. That's number 2. Yesterday, the issue of reproductive rights returned to the Supreme Court for the first time since it overturned Roe v. Wade in 2022. Justices heard oral arguments in a high-stakes case about whether to limit access to mifepristone. That's a drug used in more than 60% of abortions in the U.S. During the hearing, a majority of justices seemed skeptical that a group of anti-abortion doctors who are challenging access to mifepristone have sufficient legal grounds for their lawsuit. The court will issue a ruling in this case by June or early July. Its decision will determine whether mifepristone can continue to be sent by mail, prescribed without an in-person medical visit, and used up to 10 weeks into pregnancy. For now, full access to mifepristone remains in place. Number 3. Donald Trump was hit with a limited gag order ahead of his hush money trial. This is the case that centers around payments made to adult film star Stormy Daniels during Trump's 2016 campaign. It will be the first ever criminal trial of a former president. It starts April 15th in New York. Yesterday, a judge issued an order that bars him from talking about witnesses, prosecutors, and potential jurors ahead of the trial. It could curtail some of Trump's public comments as he campaigns for president. And in related news, Trump announced a new money-making venture yesterday. He's promoting what he called a God Bless the USA Bible. Some of the proceeds of the book will flow back to him. Number 4. NBC has reversed its decision to hire Ronna McDaniel after an on-air backlash. McDaniel is the former chief of the Republican National Committee. She has previously promoted Trump's baseless claims of fraud in the 2020 election, as well as his bashing of the media. So when NBC announced last week that she was being hired as a paid contributor, some staff were pretty angry about it. Some of the network's biggest stars took to the airwaves to protest the decision.
And so I want to associate myself with all my colleagues, both at MSNBC and at NBC News, who have voiced loud and principled objections to our company putting on the payroll someone who hasn't just attacked us as journalists, but someone who is part of an ongoing project to get rid of our system of government.
Their protest worked. Last night, NBC announced that McDaniel will not join the network because of legitimate concerns from employees. Number 5. Scientists have identified three big risk factors for dementia. A study released this morning examined 161 risk factors for the disease, which causes impairment of memory, thinking, and reasoning. Its results were clear. The biggest risks are diabetes, air pollution, and drinking alcohol. The research said these three factors each had an effect that is about twice as much as the other leading risk factors. The next major risk factors are sleep, weight, smoking, and blood pressure. The findings suggest people can make decisions to reduce their risk of dementia as they age. That could be crucial. According to the World Health Organization, more than 55 million people live with dementia around the world, and that figure is expected to increase to 153 million by 2050. Kickoffs in the NFL will look dramatically different next season. That's number six. The league's team owners approved a new kickoff model yesterday. Here's how it looks. The kicker's position on the field won't change, but every other player will be lined up on the other half of the football field. The NFL wants the ball to land in between the end zone and the 20-yard line and will punish the kicking team if it doesn't. There are a couple of reasons for the switch. Firstly, safety concerns. The league has called kickoffs its most dangerous play. With players sprinting down the field at top speed, kickoffs have far higher injury rates than plays that begin with a snap at the line of scrimmage. But the NFL also wants kickoffs to be relevant again. Only about 22% of kicks were returned last year. So in theory, this new hybrid kickoff will be more important and exciting while also reducing injuries. And at number seven, Americans are spending big money on eclipse tourism. On April 8th, a total solar eclipse will be visible from more than a dozen states, from Texas to Maine, and most of the country will be able to see at least a partial eclipse. We have a nifty tool that shows you what it will look like from your city. Find a link to that in our newsletter. All kinds of lunacy are centered around this huge event. For many, this will be a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and states that are going to be treated to the total eclipse are expecting record travel and spending. Texas is set to get the biggest influx of visitors. It could pocket $428 million in eclipse-related spending. From alpaca farms in Texas to ski slopes in Vermont, eclipse parties are being planned. So make sure you don't miss out. You have a week and a half to come up with something. That's the show for today. But one more thing. You've heard me mention our newsletter a couple times today. So if you haven't already signed up, you should. Today, for instance, that's where you can see video from the Baltimore Bridge collapse and quickly click through to see photos and more from the scene. You can have the 7 morning briefing delivered to your inbox early every weekday morning. All you have to do is sign up. Just hit the link in our show notes. I'm Christina Quinn. I'll meet you back here tomorrow.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from the Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow the Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.